This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290, online at TSN1290.ca. Time to go through the Winnipeg Jets forward groups and hand out grades for their performance thus far this season. Player by player, they'll start with, well, you can call them the top line if you want, but let's start with the Andrew Ladd, Brian Little, and Blake Wheeler line. So far this season, Richard, give me a grade for your thoughts on Andrew Ladd and his performance for the Winnipeg Jets.
You know, kind of been a bit up and down, Drew. I when you look at this squad, there's been times where I think when the team struggled, Ladd really got it going, and I think that was important in terms of the overall season success, at least where they are right now. I give Ladd a B. I think, consistency issues. Still has 12 points in 21 games, 7 goals, so weighted more towards goals there. Turns the puck over a little more than I'd like, but overall I think he's had a solid B season so far. I think when the team needed him most, so he was there, and he's dropped the gloves a little more, seems a little bit more engaged this year. So
keep in mind, when we give these grades, we are giving them based on what our expectations were for these players entering the season. So it's not, you have to keep, this is what we expected of you and this is how you've performed. Keep that in the back of your mind as your parameter for how we've come up with these grades. As a year grade for Andrew Ladd thus far.
Well, Drew, as you mentioned, the Andrew Ladd, Brian Little, Blake Wheeler line has been together the last two games. They had Mark Scheifele, Evander Kane, and Blake Wheeler together really for most of the games before that, Richie. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to give Andrew Ladd a little bit of a higher grade than Richie, B+. And the reason why I'm giving a little bit higher of a grade, he struggled earlier on in the season. He's got 2 power play goals, which shockingly is a third of the Jets' power play goals. Okay. Jets have only scored 6 power play goals. I think he's done a better job this year getting in front of the net, trying to tip pucks. Blake Wheeler's also done a good job doing that. He's got a couple power play goals too. But I think night in and night out, and especially since those first 5 games of the year where the Jets lost to the Predators and Flames at home, Andrew Ladd has really improved, and he's really been kind of a guy that he leads by example, and everyone can take a page out of his book. He always finishes his checks, does all the little things. So he's got 12 points now in 21 games. You'd like him to maybe have a few more points, but really that's kind of right around where you're going to expect Andrew Ladd to be. He's a 50-55 point guy. He has been for the last 4 or 5 years now. He's never been a 70 point guy, so to me, he's the guy that leads by example, the captain, Mr. Consistency, does the right thing. So I'll give him a B+.
Richard Pollock, your grade for Brian Little. He's got 11 points in 21 games, 5 goals, 6 assists.
He's playing a lot, Drew. I give him a B as well. I mean, he's had some times there where he's been quite successful. He hasn't been very good lately. He's not winning even 50% of his draws. I've said it on the show before, I think Brian Little's a good NHL player. He's a good solid second line center, but I don't think he's top end. Some people disagree with me, and that's absolutely fine. I think he's been a B so far. Not overly consistent, but he's been a difference maker in a number of games. And, he's putting up 11 points, 21 games. That tells part of the story. So far, I think he'll probably... He's an important guy here for this team. If they're going to get going and try and move up the standings, they're going to need... they're going to need consistent offense from Ladd and Little more so than they're getting right now.
Richard, pardon me, Ezra Ginsberg, your thoughts on Brian Little?
Yeah, and I think, that this entire line, these 3 players, whether they've played together, Richie, or on the lines that they were for the first 19 games of the season, they've struggled a little bit offensively. Wheeler doesn't have any points in his last 3 games, but he's shooting the puck a lot, and 13 points, a couple of game winners. I'll give him a B as well. I think, you look at Blake Wheeler, and he was fighting earlier on in the season, and then a lot of fans didn't like that. Maybe even Paul Maurice didn't like that. But night in, night out, he leads the team in goals, and that Blake Wheeler a lot of the time is going to spark the offense, and he'll get going here. And, I thought against the Detroit Red Wings, this line wasn't very good at all. But I still think he's been one of the most consistent offensive players. When Paul Maurice needs a goal, he's usually the guy that's tapped on the shoulder. So I'll give him a B. If it was 3 or 4 games ago, I probably would have given him a B+, but he's struggled a little bit of late. That's the only reason he doesn't get a higher grade.
Richard, Blake Wheeler, 8 goals, 5 assists for 13 points in 21 games.
Yeah, I think a B2, a B kind of throughout that top line there. As you mentioned, 8 goals are obviously important.
I just gave Blake Wheeler a grade, by the way, as opposed to Brian Little.
Yeah, so. I noticed that.
You confused me too. I was like, was I looking at the? Was I looking at my notes while you were talking? Did something switch up there?
I was going to give Brian Little a B too. So
I looked at Drew. I was like, did I miss something?
I don't know what he was doing.
Well, Brian Little to me, again, just quickly before you go to Blake
Ezra
Wheeler,
Ginsburg show.
Brian Little doesn't have a point in the last seven games, so I would have given him a little higher of a grade. But Wheeler and Little for me both get a B.
You know, Drew. Obviously, this top line being reunited recently, but Blake Wheeler is the most talented guy, offensive player on the Jets squad, and I'm going to give him a B. He's got the 8 goals, which is important. He's got 13 points in 21 games. But, you know, the responsibility for the lack of power play success has to fall on his shoulders a bit. I think at times he has been trying to play a little bit too pretty. And if you're a Jets fan, I think you should probably just wish the guy would keep it simple a little bit more often. Very talented, skates. He's dropped the gloves a bit. So a B for him. He hasn't been overwhelming, but he's certainly contributed at important times in the season thus far.
Let's head to break. When we come back, we'll continue looking at the forward groups. We'll start with the line of Evander Kane, Matthew Perreault, and Dustin Byfuglien. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to The Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
You're tuned to TSN 1290 online, TSN1290.ca. Regrettably, Aaron Portsline of the Columbus Dispatch will not be able to join us. His flights were delayed and he's currently flying, so unfortunately, life gets in the way of our best laid plans sometimes, but we'll bring you an interview with Aaron coming up in the next weeks, undoubtedly. Continuing with our grades of the Winnipeg Jets forward group through the quarter mark of the season, we start now with the current line of Evander Kane, Matthew Perreault, and Dustin Byfuglien. Let's start with Matthew Perreault. He was the Winnipeg Jets' splashy free agent signing, got off to a slow start, has 2 goals in his last 2 games to give him a total of 6 points in 21 games so far this year. Matthew Perreault, to your mind, Richard?
That's probably a C, Drew. I like Matthew Perreault as a player. He hasn't performed necessarily as some expected. He's played more wing than I expected, so I think that has to be factored in as well. And his faceoff percentage is good, but overall, he's been on a top 9 role. He's been given a lot of opportunity, and I see him producing more in the coming weeks and months. But I don't think I can give him above a C at this point, considering that offensive output and the players. He's played with some good players. So,
well, maybe you can't give him higher than a C, Richie, but I can. I gave him a C+. I think, you know, he's struggled offensively, Richie. And as you've mentioned, he's been asked to play left wing on the top line for games during the season. Mm-hmm. And right now he's playing center with Evander Kane and Dustin Byfuglien, his natural position.
He's got 6 points.
Right. And he's got, as you mentioned, 6 points. And he had a couple of points against the Detroit Red Wings. 21 games, 6 points. You obviously want more than that. Between October 26th and November 16th, he went 12 games without a point. That was a rough stretch for him. Even though, and I know it's tough when you're an offensive player like Matthew Perreault, not a bad defensive player, but not someone who's mm-hmm. known for the defensive side of the game. You want those numbers to be better, but he has, I think, played well, and whatever role has been asked of him, he is a versatile player, and he's been going out on the first power play, and he obviously hasn't been getting the points on the power play, but, you know, I think that you'd want to give him a higher grade, but he just hasn't finished, and he's a guy that I expect his numbers to be a lot better, certainly better than his points per game average so far, but he has struggled to put the puck in the net.
Dustin Byfuglien has 1 more point than Matthew Perreault does, same number of games, 7 points in 21 games for the Jets' big right winger.
Yeah, but Dustin Byfuglien plays 19 minutes and 47 seconds a game, and Matthew Perreault plays 16 minutes and 13 seconds a game. Dustin Byfuglien has played 90 minutes on the power play. He has 2 power play points. Dustin Byfuglien, for me, is a C- right now. Because he has had spurts of, you know, he's had games that he's been dominant. He's had games where he's been completely invisible, which has probably been more of his career than anything. But I just don't know how you can give him over C-. He's been playing the top 9 role, and that line's created some chances, you know, when they were playing Perreault, Lowry, and Byfuglien. But the power play has been so terrible, and he's the key on the power play. So I have to give him a C-.
Byfuglien's got 67 shots in 21 games. He shoots the puck more than anybody on this team, Richie, as you mentioned.
More than Evander Kane?
Well, he's missed some games, so I guess.
Evander Kane just shot you with the puck.
Exactly. 7 points, and, you know, his penalty minute totals have been higher than ever, and that might have to do with that Steve Downey game against Pittsburgh when he took that penalty, 49 penalty minutes. He's been in the penalty box too much for my liking. I think Paul Maurice's liking, but I'm going to give him a B. It's hard to give him a B because you'd think, you know, the totals just aren't there for a guy whose totals have been there in the past. You know, he really hasn't gotten a lot of good bounces, and, you know, you'd think that shot would get through a little bit more on the power play, always him and Enstrom on the points there. But I think physically this year he's been very good. But, you know, the offensive totals, I think they'll come.
I don't disagree with that, Izzy. And I there's been a lot of games I like what he's bringing. But at the end of the game, the output's just not there.
Hey, Richie, our report cards, they don't have to match.
I'm not saying they
can have a difference of opinion.
I can disagree.
They never matched in elementary school. That's probably for sure. Evander Kane, 13 games played. He missed a number of games, obviously, with that injury he suffered in the, you know, the first 2 minutes of the season. Yeah. 2 goals, 4 assists for 6 points, and about 312 shots.
Yeah, you know, drive him as a C as well. He's got 2 goals thus far, and he's a goal scorer. And, you know, he's firing the puck, 42 shots on net. We know he's going to shoot the puck a lot. His power play success or lack thereof, I'm not... You know, Evander Kane has 1 point in the power play. Evander Kane's not a power play type of player. He's the guy who's going to generate his offense. For me, at even strength, that's where he's going to be most effective. I haven't seen enough to say that anything over a C. I mean, this guy is getting paid $5 million a year and 6 points in 13 games. And it's the goals. 2 goals in 13 games. Tell me he's shooting fine. Some of these guys got to score at some point. And I just haven't been overly impressed with what I've seen. So a C.
Yeah, Richie, I'll give him a C+, and you have to have an asterisk there, as you mentioned, that he was injured earlier on in the season there, but 2 goals in 13 games, he's got to be better than that. And we talked about internal improvement earlier this season, and they've got it from many positions, goalie, defense, forwards, certain forwards, but he's got to be better than that. I mean, at this point in his career, you know, you talk about Evander Kane having 40-goal potential. Well, is he even going to get to 20 goals this year, right? So he's got to be better than that. I feel like he still hasn't clicked with whichever teammates. He really hasn't clicked with Mark Scheifele, certainly.
Well, let me ask you this. On that point, because I'm just thinking as you're saying that. At what point is it the centers aren't the problem and he's difficult to play with? Because I think he's difficult to play with. I mean, he's very skilled, but difficult to play with in the style that he has. And, you know, you mentioned, Bremistrov and this guy and that guy, Jokinen and Wellwood and all that. At some point, it's like, okay, he's not the easiest guy to play with. And, yeah. You know, again, still talented, still more than useful, but where does that blame lie?
I agree with you 100%. He is a difficult guy to play with. He's very fast, and he likes to shoot the puck from everywhere.
That's right.
He's not a guy that passes a lot, as we know. And so I think that's probably why Paul Maurice has put him with Perreault, because Perreault could distribute the puck a little bit more. But as we know, Mark Scheifele has that ability too, but he's also a guy that likes to shoot. He needs to be with a guy who's primarily a playmaker. And that was why Wheeler, Scheifele, and Kane wasn't working. We talked about this because all of these guys like to have the puck. So again, though, you know, Kane's got to start scoring more. I mean, you know, you could shoot the puck a lot and everything like that, but he's a guy that you'd hope that maybe, you know, a game like tomorrow, he can get going on the power play, puts up a couple pucks in the net. But, you know, 2 goals in 13 games, it's got to be better than that.
You mentioned Mark Scheifele. Let's go to him next. He's played 21 games for the Jets sophomore center. 3 goals, 6 assists, 9 points in 21 games for Mark Scheifele.
I'll give him a B, Drew. I think he's had, you know, to remember in terms of how young he is along that curve and the totals, you know, relative to his teammates, I think have been okay. He's looked good in a fair amount of games. He's getting some pretty good chances. I like to see him generate more chances on a consistent basis. Sometimes you see that 2 or 3 good chances a game, but get in there and be engaged. And if he could get stronger on the skates, that would certainly be an important aspect for him. But I think overall, Mark Scheifele's been pretty solid. I don't think he's been the issue for this squad.
Yeah, I wanted to give him a B. I'm going to give him a C+, and I think on certain nights, Mark Scheifele is doing too much. You know, towards the end of October, he went 7 games without a point. And, you know, 3 goals, you look at those and you say, okay, well, he's not scoring, and he hasn't quite ever had the success on the power play. But I think, you know, you're looking at Mark Scheifele, and was there too much pressure on him playing with Blake Wheeler and Evander Kane on that, you know, supposed first line? But, you know, I think, you know, the only reason I can't give him a higher grade is because I think his offensive game isn't there. I think he's skating well, and he's finishing his checks, and his position's good. He's clearly got good hockey sense. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, his offensive game just hasn't come around a lot, and I think you see that a lot in the power play when they throw him out there, and he hasn't been very effective. He sometimes is out of position. He's not sure if he should be the kind of the down low quarterback or if he should be shooting, and he's not really a guy that really goes into the dirty areas and goes in front of the net. That's the work of Ladd, Wheeler, Buff. So I'll give him a C+. I want to give him a higher grade, though, because I think he was better earlier on this season.
Michael Frolik, pending unrestricted free agent. He's got 9 points in 21 games. 4 goals, 5 assists for Mr. Frolik from the Czech Republic.
You know, Michael Frolik's been pretty good for this team, and he's kind of played different roles and played with Ladd and Little and got them going. He can play with the young guys. He doesn't need the puck to be overly effective. Seeing a little bit of PK time now, but I've been impressed with Michael Frolik, and he's in a contract year. I'll give him a B+. I think he's played a, you know, relative to his skill set and what he needs to bring to the table, he's brought exactly what he needs to bring for this team to be, for him to contribute to the team in the way that I think they need him to.
Yeah, Richie, I gave Frolik a B. He's on a 3-game point streak right now. You know, you talk about his contract status, his contract being up at the end of this year. He's a guy that if you take Michael Frolik out of this lineup, that's a big hole to fill for the Winnipeg Jets. He plays penalty kill. He plays a little bit of power play. And he really, you know, listen to Paul Maurice after the Wings game talking about Paul Maurice. He really is kind of an underrated weapon that they have. And he's very smart with the puck, doesn't make really bad mistakes, and good forechecker. And so I'll give him a B, but I can understand why Richie gave him a B+. On many nights, he's one of the most consistent forwards.
Adam Lowry, 21 games played. He's a rookie, 2 goals, 1 assist. What are your thoughts on Adam Lowry's game so far this season?
You know, I don't think you can give him a crazy grade because I don't think the production necessarily is not going to be. He's a young guy, so faceoffs are going to need to come and offense is going to need to come. But a really solid B, I think. I think he's been, you know, he's playing a physical game. He makes smart plays on the ice. He does the little things. It's kind of, you know, that third liner. That's what you need him to be. So I think with expectations, he's been a B, even B+. I would say to that. Offense is not what you expected from him or we're going to rely on him for. So I've been impressed with what Adam Lowry has brought to the table thus far. Again, expectations for guys who don't score are usually lower and then they're more easily satisfied, but he's been solid.
Richie, you can see it right here on my MacBook. I gave him a B, too. I think you got to consider that he's a rookie. He's played every single game for the Jets this year. He's second amongst rookies with 54 hits. The guy goes out there and he makes hits, finishes his checks every single game. Mm-hmm. That's what you want out of him. They don't expect Lowry to get 50 points this year. He's got 2 goals and an assist here. Okay, fine. Maybe you'd like a couple more goals, a couple more assists, everything like that. But he's played a consistent role on that third line. He's played a little bit of center, and now he's back on the wing. I think he's comfortable with both positions. But, you know, for a rookie, I think we'd all agree there's a bright future for him. Mm-hmm.
Let's head to break. When we come back, we'll continue our look at the forwards, and we'll as well look at the defensemen in the next segment. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
2 hours down, 1 hour to go. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. Richard Pollock, Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mindell, in studio here in Montreal at the UTEC Bowl. An update, the fourth quarter just underway. Your Manitoba Bisons are down by 8 points, down 29-21 to the Montreal Carabin. I believe that's their nickname. Bisons have the ball and appear to be driving, looking for that equalizing touchdown in what has been a pretty entertaining game so far. We'll keep you up to date on what's happening in Montreal at the UTEC Bowl. I have no idea.
I want to say it's something like you're a member of the army or something. I don't know. But
you're the guy who started answering a question about Blake Wheeler earlier when we were talking about Brian Little. So just, you know, maybe not think too hard right now.
Somebody tweet us what a carabin is. I think I've actually been to a concert at University of Montreal. But anyways, go Bisons.
It's really impressive because you actually have never been in Quebec. It's just, you know, somehow ended up there that one day. Continuing on with our look at the Winnipeg Jets forward group as we evaluate them at the quarter mark of the season, we finished the top three lines. We'll now look at the five individuals that tend to make up the fourth line as the Jets plug and play and desperately try and get some sort of production from that fourth line. Let's start with center Jim Slater. He plays the most minutes on that fourth line. Doesn't have a point yet. 21 games played, yep. 0 points, 56% in the faceoff circle. But I guess he does deserve credit for being a key component on that Jets penalty kill.
I mean, I'll even give him a B minus here, Drew, because, yeah, he doesn't have the points and he doesn't move as well as he did it before. But he wins faceoffs, which is what they one of the reasons they pay him. And he is very good on the penalty kill. And the penalty kill has been excellent. So you have to give credit where credit's due there. And this is a guy who don't really... Points from the fourth line... I mean, fourth line hardly plays, first of all. But points from the fourth line I'm less concerned about than I am from points from the top nine guys who were putting up very low point totals. So Jim Slater, faceoffs on a team that's not great at faceoffs, I think is very important. And I think his role on the penalty kill, night in, night out, has been vital for one of the best penalty kills in the National Hockey League. I mean, you have to factor that in. With the power play being so poor this year, the penalty kill has been one of the driving forces. And he plays 2.5 minutes a game on the PK.
Yeah, Richie, I'm gonna give him a B as well. As you mentioned, he doesn't play as much as you maybe like the fourth line to play, but faceoff percentage, 56.8%, which puts him in the top 10. If you go to NHL.com, he actually doesn't get in the top 10 because he hasn't taken enough faceoffs, mm-hmm. but still his percentage is very elite, very good faceoff guy. And you mentioned the penalty kill. Slater was going out with Gagliardi a lot, and then you'd see Andrew Ladd and Brian Little. You see Evander Kane a little bit on the PK, but he go Frolik, but he's out there a lot, very good faceoff, takes a lot of faceoffs in the defensive zone, a harder faceoff to win, and he wins those. And, you know, it's interesting to me, you know, and his offensive game hasn't been there. He's really struggled, missed a lot of games last year, and his offensive game a couple of years ago was a lot better scoring. But I think if he plays a little bit more on 5-on-5, maybe the goals start to come a little bit. But I'll give him a B.
Chris Thorburn has played the second most games of the fourth line players. He's played 20 games. He also does not have any points, 0 goals, 0 assists. Plays 6 minutes and 24 seconds per game. Great for Chris Thorburn, he of the 3-year contract extension late last year.
Plays six minutes a game, Drew, 6.5 minutes a game, doesn't play any penalty kill, doesn't play any power play. I give him a C only because my expectations were, you know, fourth line right winger, plays a little bit and forechecks. I mean, if you expected more than that, I think your expectations need to be looked at, because when they signed him the contract, you allude to the contract, Drew. I don't think we have to discuss the contract, because when you sign the guy to a 3-year deal, you're going to have to play him regardless of how he plays. And now they don't really, Pomerantz doesn't clearly trust the fourth line here. But is there a discord there? Like, why is the team signing Thorburn to the 3-year deal and the coach doesn't trust him as part of that fourth line? Is there communication? And I'm assuming that there is. It's just very odd that would be the way it is. So Thorburn gets a C only because my expectations for him weren't very high.
Yeah, I'm going to give Forbes a C, too. He's had a tough year. He hasn't had any points yet this year. He hasn't really been fighting that much. And as Richie mentioned, he's not getting the ice time. And, you know, he'll always finish his checks and play that physical brand mm-hmm. of hockey. But it's really tough to play that style when you're really only getting 5 or 6 shifts or 8 shifts, whatever it is, per game. Sometimes you get less than that. Sometimes Maurice doesn't play the fourth line at all, depending on where the game's at. So I'll give him a C. He's had a tough first quarter of the season. I think you'll start to see him, you know, put the puck in the net a little bit, even though, you know, he's not a guy that you expect to score more than 3 or 4 goals. First year the Jets came here, he had his best year with the Jets, scoring 4 goals. Year before that, he had 9 with the Thrashers. But really, for me, it's more so, less so the goal totals and all that, and more so him getting into the game more, playing, establishing more of a physical role and Maurice playing him more.
Well, the one thing I will point out on that is, I mean, the fourth line certainly been a liability at times, but last game, for example, when Detroit's throwing out that Glendening line and that fourth line, throwing them out at the end of the game too, trusting them defensively, but they were getting beat a little bit, and the Jets were getting their good matchup. Jets were getting their second line out against Detroit's fourth line. The Jets' fourth line played a couple shifts in that game, very, very minimal, but they played quite well, I thought. And against a team that was putting out their four lines, I was surprised that Maurice didn't, you know, and then he blames travel and team being tired. It was just kind of an odd contrast there. I mean, and a contradiction again. And then there are those, and because he's protecting his players and sometimes saying different things. But that seemed like an opportunity last game when the line was actually playing well, I thought, and the limited opportunity to see them, why you wouldn't get him a little bit more ice time.
Yeah, I think Thorburn had something like 2.5 minutes of ice time. Jim Slater had a little bit more, obviously, with his penalty-killing duties.
Yeah.
But Thorburn and Halaschuk, I think, had 4 shifts almost the entire game total, which, I mean, obviously, it's not enough. TJ Gagliardi played 17 games for the Jets. He had an active penalty-killing role alongside Jim Slater there. 0 points for him as well. Now he can't seem to get into the lineup.
C plus, Slater gets a B minus because of the faceoffs. Gagliardi gets a C plus because of the penalty kill contribution. Did a nice job there. But again, that's based on expectations for Gagliardi. I mean, you signed him to a two-way contract.
Yeah, I agree.
What did you expect?
I agree, Richie. I'll give him a C, and he hasn't gotten to the lineup. Matt Halaschuk has been replaced in the lineup, Drew, but he's a guy that, you know, he has offensive ability. He's scored goals before with San Jose and Colorado, and he struggled to stay in the lineup now, but he has been very good on the penalty kill and responsible.
I'm not quite sure why he can't get back into the lineup, but it's peculiar to me that he was effective on the penalty kill. He's not bringing anything worse or anything better than any of the other guys on the fourth line, and he's been riding the pine for the last little while. Anyways, Matt Halaschuk, the next guy, he's got 10 games played for the Jets. He's got 1 point, so he's the only one of the five fourth line members to actually get his name on the score sheet. He's got 1 point in 10 games, one assist.
Yeah, see, I mean, he's been working hard. Again, it's Matt Halaschuk. Like, what do you expect for the guy? He's just a kind of a tweener. I mean, Halaschuk would like to be a scorer and just doesn't have the skills to necessarily perform at that level in the National Hockey League, so I'll give him a C. But again, what are your expectations for these guys? I mean, you're signing players to deals. You expect them to possibly be in the minor leagues. You don't know. You're 13, 14 forward. It's the big guys, so you got to be more worried about when you're handing out Cs.
Yeah, he'll get a C for me. Halaschuk, he's only played half of the games, Richie. He's only played 10 games and got the one assist there. So, you know, you expect these guys to give you energy. This is what these guys will do. If they score some goals, that's great, obviously. And when it gets into the later parts of the season, that's when you need guys in games when the big lines aren't going. These are when you need your third and fourth lines to score. But he just hasn't played enough, and he hasn't scored enough to get anything higher than a C.
Anthony Peluso's played only 3 games. Anybody have a problem just giving him an incomplete so far?
That's fair.
Yeah, you can't. He's only played 3 games. It's tough to give a guy a grade when he hasn't gone into the lineup. He hasn't gone into a fight in those 3 games, but he's been injured, so it's tough to really give him a grade.
Let's look at the defenseman now. Let's start with Toby Enstrom. He's got 1 goal and 8 assists. He's been playing the whole season, really, with Zach Bogosian. He leads the Jets defense with 9 points. He plays the most minutes at 25 minutes, 10 seconds per game. Your thoughts on Toby Enstrom thus far, quarter way through the season?
I think A- for me, Drew. He's been really effective. He's moved the puck well. He's skated well. I thought he's taken on responsibility. I think he's calmed down Zach Bogosian's game, and he does a lot of little things and moves the puck out of his own zone well, skates the puck through the neutral zone well. Power play hasn't been very good, and I think that's part of the reason why it's a minus, not just an A. But I've been impressed with Tobias Enstrom. He's had a really nice year.
Yeah, Richie, Enstrom's 10th in the league in ice time at 25-10. He's got 9 points in 21 games. I'm going to give him a B, and I think Enstrom, especially, you see him in certain games, and he's really struggled on the defensive side and made mistakes. We just saw that in the Detroit game. You don't want to take that Detroit game and really say that that's one game is representative of his entire play. But Enstrom, I've said many times, I don't think he's a number one defenseman, and that's because of what he can't do defensively. He's really limited by his size. But the offensive side of the game, too, I'd like to see more. 1 goal, you'd like to see more out of that and more points, especially considering he gets first power play time. So I'll give him a B.
Zach Bogosian is Toby Enstrom's defensive partner, at least for the majority of the time. Mm-hmm. He's got 0 goals and 8 points, 8 assists through 20 games so far this season, playing 22 minutes and 44 seconds of ice time per game. Your thoughts on Zach Bogosian? Much maligned coming into the season. Has he said anything in particular to his detractors?
I haven't had a B, Drew. I think it's been a solid B. Like I've been impressed for the most part with his play. He's tried to simplify his game a little bit. I don't know if he's realizing this. I know the coaching staff certainly is realizing you can't force him to be something he's not, and that's some kind of naturally offensively gifted player. But when he plays a simple game and moves the puck out of his own zone, skates it, and tries to make good decisions, I think he's pretty solid. So he gets a B. There's nothing overwhelming about it. Still misses the net a bunch and still misses some passes I like to see him make, but a B. And when you log 20 over 20 minutes a game, that's a solid top four guy.
Yeah, Richie, I give him the plus. I'll give him a B plus, and he's already matched his assist total from last year. Hasn't got the goal. You know, it seems like Bogo, especially on the power play, has trouble hitting that net, but I think that will come around. He'll get some goals this year, but I think I agree with Richie in the sense that he's simplified his game. He's not trying to do too much. Yeah, once in a while, you have some issues with his decision-making, but I think he's been better physically, and I think on a night-in, night-out basis, he's been a better shutdown defenseman. That's why I give him a B plus.
let's head to break. When we come back, we'll continue looking at the defensemen. We'll also look at the goaltenders, the coaches, and the management of the Winnipeg Jets. We're ranking the Winnipeg Jets. We're at the quarter mark of the season. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
This segment of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show is brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, the longest-running independent comedy club in North America. For 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit RumorsComedyClub.com. Looking for a place to hold your company Christmas party? Rumors is an excellent option. Also, New Year's Eve, that's upcoming. Rumors has a bunch of New Year's Eve specials you can check out. Visit them, RumorsComedyClub.com, for all the information.
I'm down to toast the New Year's with Sheldon. I have a couple,
I'm sure
couple
the
of pops.
I'm sure the feeling is mutual from Sheldon's perspective.
Sheldon in town for New Year's?
I think so. I'm not 100% sure, but I believe he will be in town.
I'll call his people. Talk to his people. Organize something.
Do people know who Sheldon is?
Sheldon is Sheldon slash dad.
There you go.
Yeah. Continuing on with our look at the Winnipeg Jets players at the quarter mark of the season, ranking them on their performance.
By the way, Drew, if I had to rank your job as a host, you'd get an A++ for sure.
Thank you. That's kind of you. I'd give you a solid B- as an analyst.
I'll take it.
Yeah, well, you forgot Blake Wheeler, Brian Little. You did that whole thing. But other than that, you know.
B-. I thought I would be for sure a F or a D.
Your mustache is pretty good. I'll give your mustache an A.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's coming in.
Mark Stewart, 21 games played for the Jets, a goal, 4 assists for 5 points, plays 19 minutes and 36 seconds on the back end per game for the Jets, often, usually, teamed up with Jacob Trouba. Richard, your thoughts on Mark Stewart so far this season?
He's had his moments, Drew. I think he's a B-. I mean, he's played over his head. He shouldn't really be in the role that he's in, but he works hard. He's going to be a gamer. He's going to block shots, and he's going to be physical at both lines, both offensive and defensive blue lines. And I mean, he's been overwhelming, no. But based on my expectations for him, I think he's been a B-. It's solid.
Yeah, you mentioned the block shots. Both Stewart and Trouba, who we're going to talk about in a second, are top 12, 44 and 45 shots blocked, respectively. Truba's got 45, one more than Stewart. But, you know, you talk about he shouldn't be in the top four and all that, but as we know, Richie, he is, and I'm not disagreeing maybe that he on a better team he's a bottom pairing defenseman. But on the Jets, you got to give him credit. You know, they're a top 10 defensive team in the NHL this year based on the shots against and the goals against and all that. So I think Stewart's been excellent and has been really a great defensive leader for Jacob Trouba, and as he continues to get better, so I'll give Stewart a B+.
Speaking of which, Jacob Trouba, 21 games played, 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points, 23 minutes of ice time per game. Has he developed into what the Winnipeg Jets hoped when he was drafted in the first round?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's exceeded their expectations, I would assume. He gets an A for me. He is second on the team in even strength ice time, leads the team in shorthanded ice time, plays against guys like Malkin, Taves, plays them really well. Doesn't make many mistakes offensively. He can contribute at times, certainly skating that puck through the neutral zone. He's been terrific. I think helped Mark Stewart along, even being a younger player. He's been very impressive. He gets an A.
I'll give Trouba a B, and the reason why he doesn't get a higher grade is because of the offensive totals haven't been there. And, you know, you talk about Richie, his skating ability. You saw that really against the Detroit Red Wings on a rush that actually didn't lead to a goal, but you could just see that in a game with so many skilled players, Jacob Trouba is right up there with him. So, you know, you talk about the 23 minutes a game. I mean, that's what defensemen that are 25, 26 years old are playing, and he's 20 years old, and he plays those minutes, and he could easily play more minutes. But, you know, 4 points in 21 games, that's the offensive totals for me haven't been there. That's the only reason why I don't give him a B+ or an A.
Would you like to see him playing on the power play more often at this point?
Did I not talk about that last week?
Yes, you did.
Well, you know the answer, then.
I mean, I just, you know, I know you know the answer. Yeah, right,
I absolutely think he should be getting more power play time. I think you break up Anstrom and Bufflin, and my reason for that is you've scored 6 power play goals all year. Why not? So, yeah, I think I'd like to see Jacob Trouba play more on the power play, absolutely, and I think his offensive totals would be better if he played more on the power play.
I certainly think he's more capable of playing on the power play than Bogosian is. That's my opinion.
Yep.
Paul Postma's played 21 games this year. He's been in the lineup for every Jets game. 1 goal, 2 assists, 3 points, 13 minutes and 25 seconds of time on ice per game, playing on the bottom pairing, usually with Adam Partey or Grant Clitsam. You know, Postma obviously had a tough year last year with the injury.
Yep.
How has he bounced back so far this season?
Been a B. I think he's been solid. You know, Drew, he's moved the puck pretty well, and he's got some good offensive skills. Sometimes it takes him a bit to get going, and defensively makes some odd reads at times. But overall, you know, for that right side third pairing guy, I think he's been pretty solid. I think Jets are probably pretty happy with the way Paul Postma's played.
Yeah, I'll give the pride of Red Deer, Alberta. I'll give him a B plus. Actually, I think Postma is the most improved defenseman and maybe even player on this team. I think he's this year going to easily surpass his career games played in a season, which was set a couple years back, 34 games. He might play. He's established himself as an everyday defenseman. And I think, you know, you heard a lot about the offensive potential of Paul Postma. It's probably not ever going to, he's never going to be a 40-point defenseman, but I think he's a guy has one of the best shots on the team. His one goal is a power play goal. But I think just day in and day out, he's become a better professional hockey player, so that's why I give him a B+.
Grant Clitsam, he's played 13 games for the Jets. He's got one assist. He plays 13 minutes and 20 seconds per game. Has been playing with Postma usually. Your thoughts on Grant Clitsam's game this year?
We're not going to fail anybody here, Drew, but I think he got a D. He's really struggled. He has shown very little confidence, trouble moving the puck under pressure. Decision-making has been off. He's played as poorly as I've seen him play, so I'd give him a D.
I'm going to give Grant Clitsam a D as well, and I think you look at his totals, he's not in the lineup right now. Essentially, Adam Partey has taken his spot in the lineup, 13 games, one assist, and minus three. But, you know, he does look, as Richie said, he looks like a guy that's not really confident in his game. And you have to wonder, you know, is he an NHL defenseman at this point in his career? Because he's not a young guy, so I'll give him a D.
And the final Jets defenseman is Adam Partey. He's got 2 assists in 9 games, 14 minutes and 40 seconds of ice time in those 9 games that he's played.
For expectations for Adam Partey, he's got a B because I don't expect too much from him. And he's been pretty solid. I think he's been an upgrade over Clitsam, trying not to make, you know, too many errors and complimenting a more offensive guy, although Partey can move offensively, though. Again, it's very methodical when he does it. It's been solid. No real issues. I mean, he hasn't played a ton, so...
Yeah, I gave Partey a C plus. I think when he's in the lineup, I have more confidence in him. I think he's a better defensive defenseman than Grant Clitsam, and who's more offensive oriented and obviously a big guy. And I think, you know, sometimes you want Adam Partey to be more mean because he's one of the biggest players on the ice most times. So, yeah, I'll give him a C plus.
Moving to the goaltenders, Andrei Pavlik has started 18 games for the Jets this year. His record is 7 wins, 7 losses, 2 overtime losses, goals against average of 2.25, save percentage of 919. You talk about much maligned, that could have been the definition of Andrei Pavlik. What grade would you give him for his performance in the 18 games that he's played, 17 starts and 1 relief appearance?
I give him a B. I mean, you know, he's had spurts where he's been really solid. He's had some times where you'd like to see him perform a little bit more consistently. But I think if you come into the season with expectations, I wasn't write him off like everybody else. I wasn't in love with the guy. And I think a B is, he's been pretty good for the most part. His numbers are pretty solid. I think it tells some of the story, not all of the story, but pretty good.
Yeah, Richie, I'll give Pavlik a B plus, and we were talking about this earlier. He's lost his last 3 starts here, but you know, the save percentage is a lot better at 919. The goals against is 2.25, which both those numbers have gone up a little bit. The goals against was really close to 2, and save percentage was as high as 930. But you know, he's played the 3rd most minutes among goalies. Corey Schneider's obviously leading that, playing every single game. But the reason he gets that extra plus, I guess, from Richie is because of the fact there was so much pressure and he had such a poor year. And I think he's done everything better this year, just his approach in general. And, you know, playing the back-to-back games, even though we thought Michael Hutchinson was going to play that game. But, you know, he's just been, I think, a significant improvement over last year. So B plus for me.
Michael Hutchinson, you just mentioned him, Ezzy. 6 games played. He started 4 games. He's relieved Pavlik in 2 of them. 3-1-1. Save percentage of 948. Goals against average of 1.38.
He gets an A. He's been really good, but he hasn't played much. So, you know, it's about 4 or 5 games there. He started against LA, got pulled. So I think I've been impressed with what I've seen from Michael Hutchinson thus far, but you need to see more because he's hardly played in over the past. You know, he played the end of last season and a little bit this season, but suddenly... You know, I think they should be pushing him in there and pushing Pavlik and probably playing him more, but that doesn't mean suddenly he's a starter and that's it. I mean, he has to work towards it, but he's been impressive in the time that he's played.
Yeah, Richie, how do you not give Michael Hutchinson an A when, as you mentioned, he hasn't played much, but when he has played, he's got the shutout, his save percentage is .948, and his goals against is miraculously 1.38, which is really incredible. So he's done what has been expected of him, and that's give his team a chance to win, I should say. And, you know, he has not looked shaky in any of his starts. I thought he was very solid in the Devils game, a game that was pretty boring, and the Devils didn't have a lot of shots. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in those games when you don't have a lot of shots, you know, you don't realize that it's actually harder for the goalie. He's not seen the puck for 5 or 8 minutes at a time. So I think Hutchinson gets an A, small sample size, but, you know, when you ask of what's been asked of him, you know, he's done everything really good.
Paul Maurice, Winnipeg Jets head coach.
I think he gets a B-plus here, Drew, because he's had this team buy into playing defense, which they hadn't really done before. So I think it's been a nice job by Paul Maurice thus far. How he fares with this team now that they've bought in and navigating through the difficult Western Conference, which they're going to be seeing a steady diet of coming up, I think will be, it's a quarter mark, and I give him a B-plus so far. They have to find a way to create offense. Thought he maybe stuck with those lines a little bit too long there for a bit, but overall, I think he's done a nice job matchups defenseman against his defenseman against the other team's forwards. They seem to have worked out a lot of the matchups he's chosen, and when the team buys in, which they have, I think you have to give the coach a lot of credit.
Yeah, Richie, I think B plus for me too. The only thing maybe that prevents him from getting an A is the power play, and really to me that it's been so bad that some of the responsibility has to fall on Paul Maurice there, but he's got them believing in an identity, and he's got this team playing a lot more consistently on the defensive side of the game, and he's got them really believing in themselves, I think is really important, and you don't see those games as much as you did in previous years and earlier on the season where they don't look motivated. So I think he gets a high grade, and I think, you know, it's determined to be seen if the Jets are going to be able to keep up this pace, because they're playing a different style than they've played in previous years. So, you know, it's a good grade for him.
The assistant coaches, Pascal Vincent, Charlie Huddy.
You know, Drew, I don't want to comment and give grades to the assistant coaches, because I don't really know what they're running during the game and all that, but how much say does each one have when it comes to the power play, penalty kill in the room? Do we really know? Hard to say.
Not terribly much. I mean, I'm fine with not giving them a grade either, but Kevin Cheveldayoff, Winnipeg Jets general manager, what grade would you give him for the club, the way they're constructed right now, game 22 tomorrow afternoon in Winnipeg?
Is any different really than the off season when we said he didn't really address the team's needs, and especially the need on defense, and I think that's still a factor. I mean, if you're saying that there's been an issue with Grant Clitsam on the back end, well, if you address the top four need and push Stewart down, then that's not a problem. So no different. I mean, I don't see how you give Kevin Cheveldayoff anything above in the C range, because he hasn't really done too much. And you could say, oh, give him credit for standing pat. Well, no, I'm not going to give him credit for standing pat, because there's needs here that haven't been addressed. That don't, and I know defensemen don't grow on trees, but there are defensemen that have been available, and you've seen in the past little bit, that could at least play better than the players they have now. And that need hasn't been filled. There has been an offensive hole here, and there's other players that, like, there just hasn't been enough improvement since he's taken over for me to change my grade on these last 20 games. And if anything, the needs that we address in the offseason appear to still be needs now. And that, I think, falls on his shoulders more than anybody.
Right. I see those needs staying the same, Richie. And it's tough to give a grade.
For years now.
It's tough to give a grade to a GM based on a quarter of the season. You know, as far as internal improvement goes and standing pat, yeah, you would say that you know, he deserves a good grade for that. But aside from moving Eric Tangrady and picking up Peter Budaj, he hasn't made any moves to really change the team a lot over the first quarter of the season. So, you know, I'll give him a B, I guess. And I think that, you know, it's going to be possibly an issue if the goal-scoring drought continues, but this team is still playing defensively, which we expect, not necessarily the goal-scoring drought. But, you know, he might have to make a move if he still thinks this team's good enough to make the playoffs.
We will look back at these grades again as we get to the halfway mark and then the three-quarter mark of this season. The Winnipeg Jets in action tomorrow afternoon against the St. Louis Blues, 3:30 p.m. start time at MTS Center. Game you can, of course, hear on TSN 1290. Before we go to break, give us a call right now, 780-1290. If you know what jersey number Yvon Cornoyer wore as a member of the Montreal Canadiens, give us a call right now. You'll win two tickets to Tuesday night's Winnipeg Blues annual dinner where Yvon Cornoyer is speaking. 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. When we come back, we're going to discuss Jason Spezza and the four-year contract extension he just signed with the Dallas Stars.
You're listening to The Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Big congratulations go out to Rob Wilson. He won the two tickets to see Yvon Cornoyer Tuesday night at the Winnipeg Blues annual dinner. If you weren't lucky enough to get in on the contest, you can still purchase tickets through the Blues. Check out their website. Tickets available. I'm sure they'll be available on Tuesday as well at the door. But check out Yvon Cornoyer in case you missed any of our interview with him. It will be available for download on iTunes, on TSN1290.ca, and on our website, illegalcurve.com. An update from Montreal. With 2 minutes to go in the game, the Bisons have just kicked a field goal. They now trail by five, and they need to stop the Montreal Carabin two and out. They have just done so. So they're going to get the ball back with about a minute 30 to play, trailing by five, with a chance to score a touchdown and head to the Vanier Cup next Saturday, in Montreal. We will keep you up to date on what's happening in the Bisons game as it comes down to its last few minutes, its key minutes there. Big punt. Whoa, they're going to have to go 90, almost 100 yards for the Bisons to win the game.
Chris Cuthbert over there?
With 90 seconds to
Let's go.
By the way, Chris, producer Chris here, looked up what a carabin is. Carabin, I believe, is how it's pronounced in Montreal, in French, I should say. But it is a soldier that has a rifle and is charged with harassing the enemy.
Ah, excellent.
So, you know, we like to educate here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Jason Spezza is hoping to harass the enemy for the next 4 years as a member of the Dallas Stars. He signs a four-year, $30 million contract extension with the team in the Lone Star State, $7.5 million per season. He was set to be an unrestricted free agent at season's end. 31 years old, he had just come off a contract that he was making $7 million per year on. Your thoughts on this deal for Jason Spezza and the Dallas Stars?
A good deal. I usually like what Jim Neal does. He seems to have a vision and sticks with it. He has improved his up the middle with Sagan, the Sagan acquisition from Boston, and then the Spezza acquisition from Ottawa. I like the fact that he acquires a guy who's going to be a pending UFA, takes care of him in the season, doesn't make a distraction, and you know secures his team's future up the middle for the next 4 years, Drew, as you mentioned, 4.5 years, because we're still up this year, going 4.75, excuse me. In terms of the dollars, $7.5 million. He was making $7 million cap it before that. You know, all these top players are going to get paid. Jason Spezza is a first-line center talent, is playing second-line center in Dallas. And I think a key, and we were talking about it before the show, Drew, the fact that Jason Spezza's contract comes up at the exact same time as Tyler Seguin's contract. So when Seguin's going to get that big mega deal, when he comes off this $5.75 million deal that he's on right now, so in 4 years, you know, at the end of the 2018-19 season, Spezza will also be coming off the books and will be 35 years old, so likely won't be commanding the same kind of contract, and Sagan will get his big money deal. So I like the way Jim Neal's coordinated it that way. In terms of Spezza's skills, as I know you want to get in here, in terms of Spezza's skill set, I think he will age quite well. He's never been the best skater, so I don't think any kind of slowing down will hurt him too much. It's more so his passing skills, which I think will age quite well. He's got a good shot, doesn't shoot a ton. But he'll be good on the power play regardless. I see it as a solid contract. And Jim Neal knows what he wants to do when he does it. And I really respect that.
Jason Spezza has had back problems at points in his career. Any concern about giving a $7.5 million contract to a guy in his 30s who's had a history of back troubles?
No. And I like that they signed Jason Spezza now in November, Richie.
Right.
Jim Neal makes this contract and signs the contract. And they had Jason Spezza playing with Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn. Now they've actually moved Jason Spezza back to the second line. He's centering now, playing with Alex Hemsky. What they've done is actually Cody Eakin has moved to center on the first line. Don't think that's going to be a permanent thing. Tyler Seguin was so successful playing center last year with Jamie Benn, setting career totals there. So I think that Jason Spezza, you know, back to the contract, someone that has his ability, you know, he should be paid $7-7.5 million, whatever it is. And his offensive totals have dipped a little bit here, but the most important thing for Jim Neal here is he knows that Tyler Seguin and Jason Spezza, he's identified his top two centers. Or, you know, again, Tyler Seguin sometimes plays the wing, but I think we'd agree that he likes playing center. He's better at center, feeding Jamie Benn the puck. He's identified those two guys. Signed Jason Spezza here. He hasn't signed him to a seven-year deal. And I think, Drew, then there's more concerns if he signs him to a seven-year deal. And maybe, you know, there's some issues with his durability as his career goes on. But, you know, a four-year extension, perfect number. You're really getting him in his four best offensive years coming up here because, you know, it tails off a little bit. Unless you're Jaromir Jagr, it tails off usually around 35, 36. So great contract for the Dallas Stars. They just seem to be doing everything right. I know we're going to talk about the trade coming up, acquiring Jason Demers for Brendan Dillon, but Jim Neal has never been afraid to pull the trigger on a contract or a move.
Horkoff and Cole coming off the books, that's $10 million coming off their books next year, and they're probably getting $2 million of value maximum from those two guys.
Rich Peverly, too, coming off the books, and he's over $3 million on contract. He's on LTIR, of course, with the heart issues, but they're losing about $13 million off their contracts next season.
$13.25 million, so they pay Spezza $7.5, and they're still able to spend more money elsewhere. And remember, Spezza's on the contracts this year for $7 million.
Yeah.
So you see the flexibility that Dallas has created. Obviously, a lot of that flexibility, Drew, is driven by the fact that Seguin is 5.75 for 4 years after this one, and Ben's 5.25 for 2 years after this one. Great value on both those contracts.
Let's talk about the trade. As he just mentioned it, the Dallas Stars have acquired Jason Demers and a third-round selection in the 2016 NHL draft, so not this draft, but the one after, in exchange for defenseman Brendan Dillon. This is a trade, a rare trade of two young defensemen in the NHL. You don't see this very often. Your thoughts on this trade? We'll start with the Dallas perspective.
I think it's an interesting trade, Riz, for the reasons that you mentioned. But you know, everybody complains about no trades these days, and then here's a trade of talent for talent. And I think I want to actually look at it from San Jose's perspective first. Okay. This is, I think, driven by the fact that Brent Burns has been moved back to defense. And I know Brent Burns at times will make weird decisions on the back end and kind of Bufflin-esque in that respect, you know, forward defense and sometimes makes odd decisions, but he's a horse. He's got a big shot. And they're going to play for him on defense. So he's on your right side D. There you go. Justin Braun's a really nice defense when they signed him to to an extension. He plays a nice two-way game. So I think they like the fact that he can kind of round out that top four there. Certainly they have expectations for guys like Miracle Mueller there. But they like the puck moving ability of Vlasic, Burns, Braun, and I think what they want there, Mueller, of course, is to provide a little bit of an edge back there. And Brendan Dillon does just that. Is he the best puck mover? Not really. Is he the most offensively gifted guy? No. He's not the best skater in the world. He's a competent puck mover, but he's physical, and he's willing to throw his body anywhere. He won't back down from anyone. He's a big guy, and he gives the team an edge. It doesn't have an edge necessarily. So that's what I like from the San Jose perspective. I like Brendan Dillon as a player. Jason Demers is an offensive right-side defenseman. There's not a ton of those. That's Detroit. Offensive right-side defenseman. His game is a little bit risky. He does pinch at odd times, but he can move the puck really well. He can skate really well, and Dallas needs to get the puck from their defenseman to their forwards. And Dillon, they fell with Jamie Oleksiak and different guys they have there. Maybe they have that kind of skill, and they can find that kind of skill elsewhere. They can't find the skill that Demers provides them on the open market at that age. And San Jose had a luxury of it. So I like the trade for both sides. I actually like Dillon a little bit more than I like Demers, but I think both teams have filled the need here.
Ezzy, before I let you jump in on that trade, in Montreal, the Bisons drove the length of the field. They had first and what appeared to be goal in Montreal's end of the field. First down, incomplete. Second down, quarterback Jordan Yance gets strip sacked, fumbles the ball. Montreal recovers. Montreal has the ball with 30 seconds to go. It does appear as though they are going to end up winning the UTEC Bowl and will play the Vanier Cup at home next Saturday. Heartbreak for the Bisons to get that close, and it appears as though they're going to fall just a little bit short. Ezzy, your thoughts on the Brendan Dillon, Jason Demers trade?
Well, Drew, I think it's interesting because both of these teams are struggling. The Stars have only won 3 of their last 10 games. The Sharks have only won 4 of their last 10 games. So it's a trade between two Western Conference teams that were playoff teams last year that earlier on the season have struggled, and they're looking to turn their seasons around. And I think, you know, you talk about some of the Dallas Stars defense, Richie. John Klingberg is a guy, Carl Klingberg's brother, of course, a prospect in the Jets system now, plays for the Ice Caps. He's a guy who's got 4 points in 6 games for them. He's really allowed them to trade Gonchar and now trade Dillon. They really like him. And so you put in Jason Demers there, as you mentioned, a right-handed shot who they like there. And I think, again, it makes sense here for both teams. And the San Jose Sharks, they get the third round pick in the deal, so they get that draft pick as kind of a little extra incentive to make this trade. But it's a sign that you can see that they want to shake up their defense here. And I like the move. I like Brendan Dillon, and I like Jason Demers' game. I think he's a guy that's been like overshadowed a little bit offensively by some of the defensemen the Sharks have had in years past. You know, you mentioned Brent Burns, but before him, Dan Boyle, and obviously Vlasic, who's the best defenseman on the Sharks. So it's a trade to me that I look at it and I say, I can see why each team made this move. And I, you know, Dillon's a little bit younger, a little bit more inexperienced. He's a guy that really only came into his own last year for the Dallas Stars. But I can see why these teams are making this move now.
And think about it from the San Jose perspective. Who are you going through to make it far? Who do you have to go through? The LA Kings, the Anaheim Ducks. Those are the two teams you're keeping your eye on here in reality. I know Vancouver's playing well and all that. But if you're going to beat Anaheim and you're going to beat LA, be one of them, even compete with one of them. Those guys are huge. Getzlaff, Perry, Kessler, tough, big, strong guys. Kopitar, Carter. So you're dealing with size down low. Brendan Dillon will lean on you. Demers is not that kind of defenseman. I think that also plays a factor here.
Yeah, you can fill in the void for a guy, for example, with that last year in Brad Stewart.
Let's head to break. When we come back, we'll do one final segment, rapid fire, then we'll do cheers and jeers and wrap the program. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Following us in 10 minutes here on TSN 1290, Blue Bomber Game Day Season Wrap Show, featuring our Blue Bomber Game Day team of Darren Bombing, Chris Walby, and Troy Westwood. Last talk about the Bombers as we head into the East and West Finals tomorrow. Games available on TSN, of course. Another season for the Bombers with no playoffs. Not quite as dramatic as the Bisons. This game has been terrific. But hopefully the good things for the Bombers, well, you figure sometime soon, good things will happen for them. Let's head into Rapid Fire.
Rapid Fire.
On Wednesday, Richard, we had a good little rant about not wanting to talk about the Leafs anymore, given their struggles and everything else. Thursday, they go out and they beat Tampa Bay in a very dominant 5-2 win, but they decide to put the focus right back onto off-ice situations when they decide not to salute their fans at the end of the game. Do the Leafs, did they air the players in doing what they did to you know, really pick a fight against their fan base?
Yeah, if you don't like attention and you want to, you're complaining about attention, you might not want to skate off the ice and then draw more attention to yourself. That would be a stupid decision. Now, I can't stand talking about it, but the players, this is an idiotic. It's an idiotic decision. I don't know why you would think that this wouldn't, first of all, be noticed by some writer and then be talked about ad nauseum for a few days. Not thinking, and that's you watch the Leafs play. There's a lot of times they're not thinking, but this is another example.
Why pick now to not do the stick salute to fans? Like, of all the times to do it, why do you do it now? I don't understand why Dion Phaneuf, and I know he was, you know, explaining himself and saying that this wasn't a shot to the fans, but to me, it's just, why do you do this now? Just salute the fans and you avoid, as Richie mentioned, any negative attention. So I think absolutely they did air.
And the stick salute, by the way, brought back after the lockout to salute the fans. Oh, they've saluted the fans, all right.
Did it start in New York? Did it not?
I'm pretty sure, maybe New York after the lockout, I thought. Or maybe, you know, with Jagr's team in New York there, but that was after the lockout.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyhow, it's kind of contrived, but whatever.
In a ceremony prior to Thursday night's game between the Philadelphia Flyers and the Minnesota Wild, Eric Lindros and John LeClair were inducted into the Flyers Hall of Fame. Lindros and LeClair formed two-thirds of the famous Legion of Doom line, along with Mikhail Renberg. The three forwards racked up 225 goals and 490 points in two seasons in the mid-1990s. Which current line in the NHL, if there is one, most resembles the Legion of Doom?
Getzlaf Perry, probably. That combo. And whoever. If you want to put Mike Manilek on their wing, too, you can put him on their wing. But, I mean, Getzlaf and Perry would be the guys who dominate down low and are just a load to handle every night. That would be the one for sure that comes to mind.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes you have Matt Bolesky on that line.
Who I like,
and,
by the way.
Yeah,
he's
and,
a good player.
You know, sometimes they'll even put Andrew Cogliano on that line. There hasn't been and they had Dustin Penner on that line. It's for sure that line that has that ability to go in there and score on you and also body check you really to death. That line was so dominant, Drew. It was nice to see Lindros and LeClair get inducted into the Philadelphia Hockey Hall of Fame. They only played together for about 2 years, 3 years. But in those 3 years, they were so dominant, one of the most dominant lines of all time. Not the most dominant line offensively, but physically and offensively combined. But yeah, for me, it would have to be Getzlaf, Perry, and whoever's on that line.
On Friday, I'm amazed you can work Marty Brodeur into the show yet again. But I'll give you full credit for it here, Ezzy. On Friday night, New Jersey Devils goaltender Corey Schneider started his 20th straight game against the Edmonton Oilers, breaking Brodeur's team record. Brodeur played 78 games in 2006-2007, one shy of Grant Fuhr's record of 79 games accomplished during the 1995-96 season. How good of a chance does Corey Schneider have of breaking Grant Fuhr's record of 79 starts this season?
Well, pretty good so far. First, he got a shutout last night against the Edmonton Oilers, the storiest franchise in sports. Drew, I'm shocked by this, by the way, that he's played this many games. But based on the pace, I'm assuming he's going to land around 70, but that's still a lot. Even 72, 70, that's a lot of games. I think he's not going to get there, but he's going to be awfully close. And in this day and age, with the back-to-backs, and granted it's Clemenson back there, but the Clemenson even in warm-ups, guys, if you watch on Tuesday, just heavy puck's going in there. So, I mean, I know it's warm-up, granted, but clearly there's no confidence in him.
Well, the funniest thing I think is, why don't they just bring Marty back? Like, it's all of this conversation, what team could he go to? Colorado, maybe Minnesota. Why doesn't he go back to New Jersey where they need a backup goalie? To me, that seems like the obvious fit. But I think, Richie, that he won't get to 79 games, but I think it would be a great storyline for him to break Grant Fuhr's record. That was with the St. Louis Blues, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't with the Oilers, obviously. But you look at this record, and it's incredible, the 20 straight games to start a season. Marty Brodeur didn't even do that. The record was 19 before, Drew. But I think it's really impressive, and I think Corey Schneider will be in between probably 70 or 75. But you mentioned Scott Clemenson. They sent Clemenson down to the AHL, brought up Keith Kincaid. I think, you know, especially if the Devils end up being in a playoff position going into the playoffs, I think you'd have to think that maybe they bring Marty back.
Here's what I've been waiting for to do all show. Scott Clemenson is starting tonight for the Devils.
There you go.
Well, it's a back-to-back.
Cheers. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy.
And cheers.
No, not good enough. He's a bad boy.
I never seen something stink like this.
Surprisingly not good.
Richard Pollock, cheer or jeer for this week?
Cheer, Drew. It looks like Daniel Alfredson's career is over. That appears to be the case, at least. And with 1 year in Detroit, kind of an odd year. At the end of the day, that guy gave his heart and soul to the Ottawa Senators for so many years. So certainly going to cheer his career, and not officially announced that retirement yet, but it seems like it's on the horizon. So I'm going to give him my cheer.
Ezzy.
It's true, the Montreal Canadiens, they're going to honor Saku Koivu in a pregame ceremony December 17th, which is a game in Montreal against the Anaheim Ducks. So Saku Koivu was just had a great career, especially with the Montreal Canadiens going through the chemotherapy and all of that. So my cheers to Montreal and Saku Koivu.
That's it for this Saturday afternoon in the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. Big thank you to Andy Strickland of Fox Sports Midwest and 10-time Stanley Cup champion Hockey Hall of Famer Yvonne Cornwallier. In case you missed any of the show, it will be available for download on iTunes, on tsn1290.ca, and on our website, illegalcurve.com. Big thank you to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, the Linden Market Dental Center, and Bernstein's Deli. In case you missed any of the show, it will be available on iTunes, tsn1290.ca, and on our website. Follow us on Twitter, @IllegalCurve, facebook.com/IllegalCurve, and
the home for Winnipeg Jets news and NHL information is IllegalCurve.com. For producer Chris, Richard Pollock, Ezra Ginsberg, and producer Remus, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Note the start time next Saturday, 10 a.m. Stay tuned for the Blue Bomber Game Day season wrap-up show on TSN 1290.
You've been listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
Catch the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live Saturdays on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca.